The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, and we've begun.
Thank you, Georgina. Good afternoon, everyone. We will call the meeting of May 27th, 2021 to order. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the hearings officer today. Item number two on today's agenda is the approval of the agenda. I will check with Robbie and the other staff members to see if we have any changes to the agenda.
I do not have any changes now.
Very good. Seeing that there are no changes to the agenda, I will approve the agenda as presented. Item number three is our public interest comments. Any member of the public wishing to address the hearings officer on any agenda item not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, public comments on announcement of appeal rights or public hearing items will be taken at the time that the agenda items are heard. Please also note that the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. I'll turn it over to Robbie and Georgina to look for a show of hands to see if we have anyone who would like to address the hearings officer on non-public hearing and non-appeal rights items.
Robbie, are you there?
Any members of the public who wish to address the hearings officer may do so at this time. You can raise your hand by using the hand raising feature in the GoToWebinar app located on the left side of the control panel. If you'd like to raise your hand, please do so at this time and we'll have 3 minutes to speak. I do not see any members of the public in the meeting and no hands were raised, so we can continue with the agenda.
Thank you. Agenda item four is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone listening know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the governing board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and appeal application can be found at the TRPA website. At this point, I will pause until 2:15 p.m. and then we will take up our single public hearing item. Item A, the Agate Land Capability Challenge, continued item from the May 13th, 2021 meeting. It's located at 45 East Tuscarora Road, Washoe County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 123-13602. And the TRPA file number is LCAP2020-0422. We'll go on mute until 2:15. Thank you. All right, I show that we're at 2:15 p.m., so we'll begin. Public hearing item 5A, which I have previously announced the title of, so I won't do that again. And my plan is to ask the staff to give us a brief presentation and update since our meeting 2 weeks ago. Then I'll ask the same from the applicant. And then I will open the public hearing and take public comment on it as the step after that. So, Julie Roll, I believe this is your item. Will you please give us an update and summary?
Yep. Hi, Julie here. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think everybody on the line today was present at the May 13th meeting, so I won't rehash everything that was said last time, but just in summary, we kind of left off the last meeting essentially with the disagreement about the historic natural slope and whether it would qualify as a class 4 or class 6. So at the end of the meeting, we were instructed to work towards a resolution, and that's where we left it, being continuing the items. So after that, the applicant's team, TRPA staff, and also TRPA soil consultant, Marshall Munnicki, we all met on site on May 21st. And there wasn't really any new information per se to discuss, but you know, we had some discussion in the field and left with an agreement that we would both come up with essentially a revised site plan as a compromise, showing where we'd be willing to have that delineation line between the class 4 and the class 6. So due to the really quick turnaround time from 2 weeks ago at the meeting, the staff report that was posted last week for this hearing item was essentially the same one as the May 13th meeting. So it doesn't reflect any of the changes that we've discussed in the field or since then. The report has now been updated, and obviously very last minute, but the proposed site plan produced by TRPA and also by the applicant were both shared since last week, so that hasn't changed. The staff report was just updated today just to show some of those changes based on the TRPA proposed map. And essentially, just to boil it down, TRPA's recommended change since the May 13th meeting is to increase the class 6 area from 3293 square feet to 4927 square feet, and reduce the class 4 area from 5058 square feet to 3424 square feet.
Julie, and can we've pull up that map, please?
Yes. Robbie, or that would be
Georgina.
Page 37.
Okay.
And when I'm done talking, we also have Marshall on the line, so she could explain if you want how we, you know, came to this line, but we'll get to that. So you can actually see on that map in the dark, the black kind of hash dotted line, that was the previous delineation line between the class 6 and the class 4, and then the red line kind of going through the corner of the garage and the corner of the house, that's the new proposed delineation line. Okay, so the applicants also have their own map that they provided. And so they're showing, that's on page 39, Robbie, if you want to go to that. So, and I apologize for the formatting. I didn't have a lot of time to work on this, but basically we've got the class 6 area on here as 7314 square feet, and the class 4 area is 1037 square feet. So you can see that delineation line at the edge of the residence. So the class 4 area being the triangular portion of the parcel at the bottom by Wasso Road. So I think that's a summary. That's really all I've got to say. Like I said, we've got Marshall on the line. We've got the applicants on the line. So, you know, we can hear from both sides. And Andrew, you can direct, you know, how you want to hear from everyone.
I will. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. And I would like between Julie and Marshall to talk to us and explain how we arrived at the TRPA revised. I'll also then ask the applicant to do the same for this exhibit that we have in front of us. Can you please talk to us about what went into the thinking, the field work, the line making, so to speak, on the first exhibit? If we could bring that one back up again, please. Thank you. And talk to us about, I will note too that the black line, and it's indicated by the call out note on the left side with the black arrow, represents the boundary line that was determined by the applicant's soil scientists, the black one that's Julie referred to. So, Julie and Marshall, would you please talk to us a little bit about how we got to this map and the lines here, the red ones, I mean, that TRPA and consultant were involved in?
Hi, Andrew. This is Marshall Munnicki, TRPA consultant. Well, the red line is basically a compromise when we were out in the field, where I was trying to give them negotiate like a perhaps larger area of class six in kind of the transition zone between the class four and class six. The slopes, the existing slopes in that area are still over 16%. That was as a request to come to some sort of agreement. The original line is based on, you know, the pretty much the existing slopes and the native slopes onto the north that were, you know, 20%, 17%, 18%. So I did not feel that we could move it all the way down to the front of the house as they requested, because I have not found evidence that supports that that was historically less than 16% slope. They have provided several topo maps where the contour lines have been adjusted and moved, and that's not typically an accepted practice. And I've, my 6 years of working here, I've never had someone present data that way. So the slopes have been manipulated to show exactly the slopes that they want, kind of evened out across the parcel. So they did not prove like a given historic point above or below that would show how that slope was actually 16%. And there's second evidence of the profile. Again, I kind of repeat that I thought their start and end points were put at a point to be advantaged to their slopes at the middle of the road and the outside of the fill. There was at one point a suggestion that maybe I didn't understand how cut and fill works, but I have worked decommissioning roads for about 5 years and rebuilding road slopes and everything. So I do clearly see how the road's been impacted and where the natural slopes are. So based on the natural slopes, I feel there's really clear evidence to the north of the parcel that it's still 18 to 20% slope, especially in the lower part of the parcel. So in the in-between area, you know, the slopes are getting a little bit closer to 16%. So that's where I figured I could move the line slightly down the hill for the larger area of class six.
And Marshall, based on that second map that we looked at, which I understood you to say was presented by the applicant, which I'll give the applicant an opportunity to talk to in just a minute, and that the slopes that are shown on that do not represent the accepted practice of how the slopes are displayed or measured. Was it your opinion, being out in the field, that one of these two maps we're looking at, the site plans with the coverage, with the land capability classes delineated, did one of these two maps, the one that you and the TRPA staff have prepared, and the second one being the one that the applicant most recently submitted that I think we looked at on screen just a minute ago, does one or the other represent to your eye and your professional judgment the slopes on them, what is actually going on the ground?
Right. This current one that we're looking at is the, it's actually been modified and like just image wise, like, you know, the boulders and stuff have changed from the engineer's original map, but this is the accurate topo lines that was submitted by the engineer.
And as you have seen them and evaluated, yes, them and concluded in, yes, the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Marshall. I don't have any other questions for staff, but I will like to hear from the applicant or the applicant's representative, please, on the intervening time period. And please make sure and identify yourself for our record.
Okay. Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Robert Angris, attorney for Mr. Egitt, and what I'd like to do is turn it over to Mr. Ford to respond and be responsive to your request to explain his exhibit. And then I'd like to make some comments and questions afterwards.
Very good. Continue, please.
Wayne?
Hello, thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer, and also TRPA staff and contractor for TRPA. The statement about my plan and it not being a standard methodology, I don't know if there's a standard methodology available to try to bring clarity to a site that is basically 85 years old in terms of being worked on. What I did is project what other indicators on the site would lead me to believe would be the natural slopes. But in addition to that, the section view tends to support the fact that these natural slopes under 16% existed back in 1936, prior to that home being built, for a much greater run on the site than what the current contractor is suggesting, Ms. Munneke, existed. It's interesting to me, in an intellectual effort like this, that we have half of the lot from grade points 52 all the way through to grade points 40 in that area, and then beyond on the Tuscarora Street, that all indicate slopes under 16%. And in fact, the most recent line put on the site plan that was submitted just this week to us kind of agrees with that. And yet, that pole of the parcel, I'm getting some feedback here or something, that part of the parcel that I've shown here from those grade points, 52 all the way to 40, is the least disturbed area of the parcel, meaning that there is a garage built, I think early 90s, a shed built back in 1936. And yet when you get to the most disturbed part of the parcel, where the home was cut into the property up from Wasu Road, some 300 yards of dirt, it seems like the consultant and others have said, oh, that has to be class four. It had to got steeper there. Well, when you look at the parcel that was brought up, and I must say one thing here. The image that was just put on for us to look at with the notations, that image is not the same image that I just got at the beginning of the week. And I really feel it's a real problem, and I'll let Mr. Angus address it, that I get the narrative and the staff report a couple hours before this meeting. How am I going to, in an educated way, respond to that other viewpoint when I sent off my exhibit 6 or 7 days ago for staff to look over and respond? And frankly, I didn't really get much narrative about it when we had our meeting a few days ago. So getting back to my site plan, natural grade breaks, they're documented in two ways. And you can see on the original site plan that Denny Churchill Sid Davis. Denny was part of this in the beginning, but Sid Davis, it has a top of the bank and it has a bottom of the bank with many great points noted along the meandering line that would be toe of slope, a bottom of bank.
Robbie, let's go back to that first exhibit, and I'll ask Mr. Ford if this is the one he's referring to.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, if you look up at Teresa Court, and frankly, the scale in this is hard to see it, but the contractor and I agreed that the grade break, in fact, on this site plan, it's not easily seen along delineation line 50 and 52, but there was a lot of fill there. So that natural grade break, for it to be documented in a way that communicates that it is a natural break, has many elevation points that are not on the site plan, that are ordered to have produced from Ken Arnett, which he has them in his computer. He just doesn't put them all on because it gets so confusing. But those natural grade breaks delineate the toe of a slope or the top of a bank. The line that was put on this site plan from some point near some kind of tree up there has none of those points delineated, so I can look at it and say, oh, that's a natural grade break. The work I did, and please go back to my exhibit if you would, 1C, give you a chance to go back to that. The way a natural grade break is shown, if it's a straight line, is you call out 32 and it comes all the way across and is called out on the other side, which I apologize, at 32. It's a straight line. And then it breaks off towards the northeast. Nobody could really explain why the site next door is being imposed on where the residents exist today. Because when you stand out there, and we all did, when you stand below on the property next door near Wasu Road and look up, you can see that everything is dropping off towards the lake northeasterly from that location. It is steeper. That's why originally I agreed. I said, yes, I was wrong in my original submittal of asking for the whole site as class 6. Of course, then I did some other points from the roads, and I disagree with the consultant wholeheartedly because I've talked to the head of roads up here. Those points in the center of that road are natural points. So even as Mr. Davis said, this site could have been all 6 at one time as a plateau. And then it drops off to the northeast, and it elevates as you go purely north away from the lot on Teresa Court. So I felt that this was a way of projecting in what was likely there, I believe was there, when they were doing the roads in 32 and they built a home in 36, as a natural grade break that makes sense. I'm sorry, like what the consultant did in terms of trying to compromise. But she compromised on the part of the property that had the least amount of disturbance in it. It had disturbance. And you can see on my point here of projecting things through, this is not pie in the sky. This is not some dreamer's thing. It's basically what was there when the home was built. Grade point 32, when projected down, is only about 3 feet above the basement elevation that was called out by the surveyor. That's not an unreasonable thing to see happen, to dig it out. And then, of course, on other exhibits, we had two trees on either side of the house that have been there for many, many years, a cedar and a fir, that kind of confirmed the fact that there was no disturbance on these slopes that basically are right around 32. So I am struggling here only from one aspect. I submitted all my information. There was no discussion that was in depth about what I drew. I was using the natural grade points that existed through two-thirds of the, well, throughout, let's put it there, through about 55% of the property, projecting them onto where I could see that there was a clear change in elevation based on the property next door, and not factoring in areas of slope next door that does not exist on this property. This was kind of a plateau parcel. And I recognize that part of it needs to be class four, but I cannot accept what was drawn on there the other day without any real relevant points to it being a grade break, when I've shown one that makes sense in terms of surveying methodology and is consistent with the way grade breaks are shown above on the property and on a lot of the parcels I've worked on for over 27 years. I cannot accept that meandering line. I'm sorry, even though it gets us a little more coverage, that's not really what this is about to me. It's about the accuracy of trying to put back something that was taken away many years ago under the current rules that didn't exist then. And I also reflect back on one thing. My goodness, in 1999, TRP called this 1A, 1% allowable coverage. That should have never been done. It was my understanding when the TRPA site assessment teams were formed to come out, and I worked at the time when you walked into the agency, they pulled up an aerial map where it was taken from high elevation, and they said, oh, you're class four, that's it. See you later. No, TRP realized that they needed a team of experts that were trained as like Julie is. Julie's a very good planner, extremely well versed in many things, to come out and assess a property and do it so we don't have to go through this all the time. Paul Nielsen is a tremendous planner that did that assessment. But Paul was not a soils person at the time. I knew him. He was in planning. And you've hired some very good people in that area. We should not be debating this at all. My clients, given everything that we're doing here, whether or not TRPA's soils people want to understand one way or the other, this is not just about soils. And I'll let Mr. Angus take over at this point. I've made my case. Frankly, I've only seen TRPA's case sent to me, 39 pages that has narrative in it. I haven't even got to open the file. And look at what
I believe we sent this to you on Monday, the map.
I just got it today. Julie, I just got it today.
Yeah, let me clarify. This is Julie. So we met on Friday afternoon or Friday last week. And then and I forget when, Wayne, you sent your map, but it was shortly thereafter, or maybe it was before. So we had your map on Friday. And then we, over the weekend, Marcelle worked on her map, and we sent that out on Monday. And I know you said we changed the map. And I just want to clarify that for the hearings officer. We didn't change the map that's in the staff report today. We didn't change the line. We just added the call-outs, just the explanation of, the different lines were. So it's the same map. It's not ideal that we've had to do this all as a scramble. I do not enjoy working this way where you don't have time to get back and forth. So we sent the map on Monday. I was hoping to get a response or some comments back so we could have a little discussion before the meeting. I reached out on Wednesday just to see if there were any comments and then heard back, finally yesterday afternoon. So it didn't leave a lot of time to scramble to get everything together. So yes, I agree. It is not ideal that this was all put together and sent to everyone shortly before the meeting. So I completely agree and I apologize. I was just doing my best to turn this around so we wouldn't, get to lay it on this hearing yet again.
Okay. I need to respond to something about the map on Monday. Okay.
Yes, and then I'd like to hear Mr. Ford from Mr. Angris. At the, if you'll please respond to the one point you'd like to make briefly, and then I'd like to hear from Mr. Angris.
I want to thank Julie for her for input. I know, and I agree with her, this is all a very tortured timeline for all of us. There is something happening, and I attempted to resolve it. The map I received on my PC on Monday had all the information on it that was intended at that time to be sent. I printed it out and the line didn't show up that was drawn on there. And so I sent it to Rainbow Printing, which they have a more sophisticated system than I do. And what came back was notes on it that basically said something to the effect, most natural soap found based on true basis of soap information. And a lot of soap points shown that did not show up on the map that I received on Monday. So this could have all been probably resolved in getting something formatted that was working from wherever it was being sent from, that would have helped me see some of the notes. And then, of course, today, the exhibit that was put up, there was commentary made on it that was recently just put on today or a few days ago, and I just seen it today because I just got the amended staff report today. And I kind of like to go through and read everything that's in the most current reports, so my mind is on the most current things being said. And once again, that didn't happen as of 2 hours ago. I just got it. I didn't have time to even go through and read the amended chart or anything. And I believe, Julie, that it matched what she just quoted in terms of numbers. So any kind of disconnect at this point is not something that works well for all of us being on the same page. So I'll leave it to Mr. Angris, and thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Sounds like maybe you had a printer setting issue going on there, but go ahead, Mr. Angris.
Okay, well, I will be brief. First, I want to say that there is no intimation that either Julie or Marshall were doing anything but bending over backwards to scramble to try and assist with this process that you, Mr. Strain, have been assisting with. My problem as a constitutional law professor, I'm just very sensitive to procedural and substantive due process and the common sense behind it. So we were all put behind the eight ball. We all met at the site. We all have done our best, you know, up to this point. And practically speaking, you know, getting things an hour before doesn't work optimally. However, you know, there's been a tiny bit of compromise on the TRPA side. There was a compromise on our side when we put that in 6 or 7 days ago. And my query to you, Mr. Strain, is, do you have the authority to perform a King Solomon and split the baby in one fashion or another between our original 2,500 square foot assessment and now the 2,100 plus square feet assessment from staff and the contractor, either through a combination of interpolating in the land capability challenge or applying life safety transfer or accommodation, because we were very candid that we are not hugging the boulders or worrying so much about anything except the goal is to accommodate a ramp a garage that can have a van with a wheelchair, you know, et cetera, et cetera, the life safety issues. And if, you know, we would be happy or at least be able to work with 2350, if that is within your purview in any combination of ways, then we are done vexing everybody. If not, then we need to go to the default position of asking for yet another postponement so that we can parse the rationale behind what we received an hour before the hearing, and then come back and see if we can give further intelligence to the difference between how Ms. Munneke sees the lot and how we see it.
Appreciate that, Mr. Angris. Thank you. And I enjoy your analogy of King Solomon. I understand that and have used that myself previously. So thank you for that. I'll defer to our esteemed counsel, Ms. Birch, on how much King Solomon we have available to us at this point.
Hi, Andrew. I've been listening to the discussion. And I do think that in light of how things unfolded this week, and I think everyone was doing the best they could, it does make sense to have an opportunity to hear, you know, a fully thoughtful response to what the applicant received.
Very good. Thank you, Marcia. I would like to make sure we do open and hold the public hearing, and then would like to bring it back for a couple of follow-up questions, if I could. Mr. Angris, anything else?
I'll have
an opportunity to speak again after the public hearing.
Okay, and I can defer this question, but I'd like to pose it to Ms. Birch. I'm interested in learning what your purview is and whether there is any integrative capability between life safety and LCC. And I can defer it till after the public hearing.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Angris. And thank you, Marcia, for weighing in there. I appreciate that. At this point, I will open the public hearing on this item, and I will ask Robbie to please look for a show of hands from anyone participating today who would like to offer public comment. Robbie?
I can read it. Robbie, members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you. You will have 3 minutes to make your comments. No hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. I appreciate that. All right, I'll bring it back. I do have a couple of questions and things I'd like to go through, and then we'll obviously offer the opportunity for comment and input from the applicant and the staff. Can you please, Georgina and Robbie, using this exhibit, there are some notes that I can barely read, partially off the page down in the lower right-hand corner, that appear to come from the contracted soil scientist for the applicant, Mr. Davis. And I wondered if you would be good enough, please, Robbie or Georgina, to read this for us so that we can make sure to capture this as part of the record. It may be helpful.
All right. Hello, Wayne. In the process of LCC interpretation, we rely on the slopes prepared by licensed surveyors. We never alter contours on those maps. Where areas have been filled or oversteepened by construction, such as parking lots or house pad preparation, those are generally ignored in the context of natural topography. The exception is where man-modified improvement occurred prior to 1972, And the original land capability was different before TRPA became an agency. These usually are associated with grading or paving that occurred on steeper areas that are shown as low capability, but now are class 4 or higher. Rules in that regard are what is shown on the adopted TRPA overlays and what it is now, if it changed before 1972. On a parcel that was developed in the 1930s, it's hard to say what exactly the natural topography might have been due to disturbance. However, the natural slope in the Eggett parcel area was never greater than 30% slope, nor was it rock outcrop or shallow, less than 12 inches soil, as shown on the TRPA overlays. If the overall slope from top to bottom is less than 16%, class 6 would be an appropriate assignment if adjacent undeveloped lands suggest disturbances may have altered the lot. We did not conduct a man-modified investigation. Sid Davis, consulting earth scientists.
Thank you, Georgina. Well done. That was very helpful and insightful in my view. I've known Mr. Davis for many, many years and don't disagree with what he has said here based on my understanding. I have a question for Mr. Ford, if you would please answer. Let's go back to the full view, if we could please, of this exhibit. Mr. Ford, does this map before us with the delineated land capability classes and the individual slopes measured between contours, does this represent, to the best of your knowledge, the existing condition on site today?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Can I finish? It's a representation, sir, of a reasonable projection of what would have been there prior to this home being built.
Okay. Very good. I thought I heard you say that, but I would like that helps very much to hear that directly. Thank you. And I want to respond to one issue that Mr. Angris raised, which was a good one. And I believe I heard you using a bit of shorthand notation verbally for certain land coverage amounts that might result from the land capability challenge, the outcomes that get sort of cranked through the calculator, as it were, once the soil boundary and land capability class lines are established based on the area of each of those translated into land coverages that might be available to be used on a project or a modification to this existing residential dwelling unit. And I want to be clear, Marcia will correct me if I'm wrong, but what I believe today, my purview on this item is simply to determine where the land capability class boundaries properly belong and not a discussion of what resultant land coverages might be available for use by a future development or redevelopment project on this site. That is a separate matter, likely one that would not come before the hearings officer, except in unusual or unique circumstances. I don't know that that would be the case here, but my purview, Mr. Angris, is not to crank out the end of this into what land coverages are available. I want to be clear on that. And Marcia, again, will correct me if that's not the proper understanding of that.
That's correct.
So I have one of two options that I'd like to offer, unless we have any further comment. Staff, I'll ask staff first. Okay, hearing none. Mr. Ford, Mr. Angris, I have two options I'd like to put on the table for you. And then happy to engage in some discussion on those if you would like to. In my readings. And now let's please, Robbie and Georgina, let's go back to the first, the TRPA map, thank you, that was joined. And then we've looked at previously, and it sounds like Mr. Ford may not have been able to print out completely when he received it. And I apologize for that. I've had troubles like that myself over the years. Didn't grow up in the age of computers. I did things with pen on Mylar, so I perhaps am of a similar vintage. But nevertheless, Number one is you are able, certainly, to ask for a continuance. I understand we're you know, spending more time on an item. Perhaps that is wise and you would like to do that. I'll give you that option in just a minute. I understand that this land capability delineation, as it's presented here, you haven't had time to fully understand, review, think through, discuss with your clients, discuss amongst yourselves, as well as the accompanying staff report and the more technical materials that go with it, and that's certainly within your purview. I understand. I was optimistic 2 weeks ago that this could happen as you know, rather rapidly and open lines of communication, which it sounds like it was, to the extent we could do that, and that we would have nodding heads in the same direction when we came back together and would be able to resolve this and let you all get on with your business. So that's one option, is you would be able to ask for a continuance. In the limited abilities I believe I am granted through this position, I would also, in looking at the site and having further discussions with the staff, would be willing to make a slight modification to the red line representing the TRPA class, that really would exit the residence, the main residence, would exit the main residence closer to the middle of the residence and then track its way on up to the elevation line on the north shore, or north boundary of the property, to elevation 6540. It occurs to me that that would pick up a good amount, an additional amount of land area that would be moved from 4 into 6. And the area of class 6 would be slightly greater. Perhaps it would crest or get a little bit beyond the 5,100 square foot area that's shown today as 4,927, and then possibly reduce the area of class 4 by 100, 150, 200 square feet. So I'd be prepared, I could get comfortable and understand how we should be able to make the findings given this existing topo map contours established on it, that we could move that line essentially from somewhere near the middle of that residence on or about that the word that says section, where it crosses through the residence on the west side, and work its way over to the 6540 contour.
I need to ask, Wayne, would you respond to that?
I would have to overlay it and see how that really works. No disrespect to anybody at this time. I'm not able to just jump onto that without, I would suggest this maybe, that line be drawn and sent to us, and maybe, Bob, that involves a continuance. Mr. Hearings Officer, Mr. Strain, maybe that involves a continuance. Look at that and see where we are there, because I'm wanting this done too. I mean, we all do. So
I believe we have many things that we're trying to accomplish together. And I understand your concerns. I completely get it. Understood.
Could we maybe do that? Bob, I'm going to suggest is that a line is drawn and I can look at it and see how that all fits with what's going on with class 6.
Yes, I believe I can ask the staff to present to you a revised map in line and give you some time. Perhaps we could do this at the next meeting if it all works out. Warning to obviously not drag things out. I'm sensitive to time. Believe me, I am. I'm happy to accommodate that. Would ask the staff to send you a revision to the revision, essentially, is what it is, a revision to this map. That puts their thinking to it and how that line could reasonably move that represents conditions on the ground and consistent with the way that our slope mapping is conducted.
Thank you.
I realize we don't have every chapter and verse written down as a hard and fast rule. I understand that, and that serves us better in some situations than others, in my view, frankly.
Thank you. I would accept that. Bob?
May I suggest something? And I'll defer to Marcia if this comports with your rules. But could we agree that that overlay will be sent to Wayne, that it will be in the context of a continuance, but we have the option of accepting it and then concluding the matter without waiting for the next hearing?
Well, unfortunately, if we continue the hearing, then it's essentially providing notice to the public. I realize that in this situation, we don't have a lot of attendance from others, other members of the public, but we are essentially giving notice of the item being continued to the next meeting. So I would say you could follow the procedure that you just described, but we will have to open the hearing, and then the hearings officer could indicate that that there had been agreement. So it could be a very short hearing. But if we continue it, it does have to take place.
Okay, well, I think that's why I deferred to you, because I'm not, up on your procedure and what comports with observing it. We discussed actually continuing requesting a continuance without any of this meeting, because we were, quite alarmed that we got all this information at the last minute with no opportunity to really parse it. However, I think that, Mr. Strain, your suggestion is very sensitive and appealing to us. We just have to see if it works for us before we go to the trouble of marshaling other evidence to try, to oppose it or qualify it. And very clearly, I've made no bones that we're a one issue person entity here in what we're trying to accomplish. And if your suggestion meets those needs, then we don't need to do all of the things that I've alluded to. So let's continue it and let's get the overlay, and then we'll be in communication, and then we'll know whether the continued hearing is perfunctory from our mutual standpoint, or whether we need to get to work, to try and change your mind further.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Angus. I will take a formal action in just a minute. I want to confirm first with our staff, Robbie and Georgina, that we have closed the public hearing or the public comment today, which obviously we would reopen as part of that. Can you please remind me, did we close the public hearing already?
We did, yes.
Very good. Thank you. And Mr. Angus, Mr. Ford, the second point I'd like to make before I take action is that, again, my purview is not to help design your project and not to ensure a certain amount of land coverage available. That is a subsequent process that I'm sure Mr. Ford is familiar with. Mr. Angus, you may be familiar with. I don't know. But the outcomes that you're seeking, that's not what I'm here to do as the hearings officer. I'm here simply to determine the proper location of the soil and capability class boundary lines. Just wanted to reiterate that so we're clear.
So stipulated.
Thank you. And the third point is when we are able to transmit to you kind of a third version here of the map, please, Mr. Ford, reach out to technical specialists. I do this myself, and make sure and have them help you get the map printed with all comments and changes on it. There's a setting in most printers that you have to elect affirmatively in order to see everything. And I've made that mistake myself in the past, and had someone help me teach me how to do it, and it worked. So please do. It was not. I can confidently say it was no one's intent as part of our organization to not provide you with the full picture.
I accept that, and I apologize if it's if I implied that at all. I have a very skilled IT person that is usually sitting next to me. He's went to help pick up my daughter right now.
Excellent.
But in the meantime, thank you for all your thoughtful considerations, and I'll be looking forward to seeing the new line. You know, thank you.
Appreciate that. And with that comment, I will continue this item to the next hearing, which I believe is scheduled for June 10th. And I'm optimistic that we're down to, as I believe Mr. Angus has summarized, we're down to a very specific issue, and hopefully will not take a lot of everyone's time and attention to get to the finish line on this one way or the other. And I will then adjourn today's meeting. This item has been continued. We have no other business before us, so I will adjourn today's meeting of May 27th and thank everyone for their thoughtful and considerate input today. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ending webinar in 3, 2, 1.